Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
We've all been there. You have a question about your credit card. You call the number for help and you can't get a hold of anyone. With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yeah, you heard that right. A real person. Get the customer service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card. Hey, it's Bobby Bones. Hey, I just want to say thanks to everybody who has stepped up for the St. Jude kids. St. Jude's doing incredible work fighting childhood cancer. And because of donations like the ones that you give, families never receive a bill ever from St. Jude for treatment, travel, housing, food, none of that. Help St. Jude stop childhood cancer. Become a partner in hope. Get this awesome new This Shirt Saves Lives shirt. It's going to look great on you. So join all the doctors, researchers, and me in this fight. All right, text the word Bobby. It's only six numbers to 785-833. Again, text the word Bobby to just these six numbers, 785-833.
It's time for the Bobby Bones Post Show. Here's your host, Bobby Bones.
Hello, everybody. This is the show after the show. It's called the Post Show. I think our wives think it's funny that we like Hootie so much. But we got to sing. We hung out all weekend with Darius. I've known Darius forever. I didn't know my wife was recording me singing Hootie around the house secretly and sending it to Eddie's wife.
Right. And then my wife is recording me secretly singing Hootie and sending it to your wife.
So they're having their little laughs behind her back.
Look at these guys. Oh,
they're so hot. I bet that's not even said.
Not one time.
Not one time did they talk about how hot we are to each other.
No. It's just how dumb we are singing Hootie around the house.
Why don't they be like, dang, look at the butt on Eddie. I'd be okay with that if they were talked about that.
If your wife said that about me?
Sure.
Really?
Why not?
I don't know if I'd be okay with my wife saying, look at that butt.
Okay, what
heads.
If your wife was like, Eddie's got a great butt? Your wife said that.
My wife?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'd love that.
Right, that'd be awesome. But instead, it's like, what? Look at these idiots singing, only want to be with you.
Dude, what an incredible weekend.
Only want to be with you.
Amy, I rode a golf cart with Darius for 4 hours. Just me and Darius.
Cool. Like, I don't.
Okay.
Cool.
What if you rode a golf cart with Robin Roberts for 4 hours?
Okay, that'd be cool.
Yeah, it'd be amazing.
But Eddie wouldn't care.
Yeah, but am I going to walk around my house quoting her book?
Well, she doesn't sing her book.
She doesn't sing her book.
So?
Sometimes I wonder if it'll ever end. You get so mad at me when I go out with my friends. That's a jam.
I can dance.
That's a song. No, you're not singing the right words.
Not,
in order. No.
No.
No, I mean, I'm happy for y'all.
I just feel like over the years,
Darius is around.
Yes.
Well, not like that, though. I mean, 4 hours of Darius, that was...
Do you think Darius is like... Dude, I spent 4 hours in a car with Eddie from Bobby Bones.
No chance. He thought that. He was probably like, wow, I got to spend 4 hours with this guy.
He looked at the card assignments. Mother. Todd Chrisley breaks his silence from jail. Lunchbox, what do you think about this? He did an interview with somebody that wasn't you.
Yeah, I know. He did it with some guy named Chris Cuomo. Mm. Cuomo. That's
on News Nation. Yeah, he used to be on CNN.
Yeah, and so I was like, dang. And man, it sounds like it's rough in there.
But we know what it is in there, right? Because we have people call us that have been in there.
No. I mean, Todd talks about how he's being treated, the food, everything. He talks about it all.
Okay, here's Todd Chrisley, who has been a guest co-host on the show, but I don't know, won't respond to any letter Lunchbox sends him.
That's right.
But here he is talking about how the staff has treated him in prison.
There are recordings of staff members here talking about he needs to be humble. What we need to do is we need to put him in diesel therapy and put him in shackles and let him ride around the country for 4 months and then bring him back, and that will humble him.
Yeah.
But they're just talking about that?
Why is the audio so bad?
I don't know.
Because it's a jail phone interview, man.
You can't just turn it. People call us from jail. We just turn it up.
Tiger King, he would sound better than that.
Yeah. And he was even in the stairwell. All right, here he is talking about getting blackmailed in prison.
There was a photograph taken of me while I was sleeping and sent to my daughter asking for $2,600 a month for my protection.
Wow.
For his protection, like saying, I'm going to get this guy. Like, come on. See, I mean, it's rough in there, guys. Maybe it's true.
He's talking about the food here.
It is so disgusting. disgustingly filthy. The food is literally, I'm not exaggerating, the food is dated, it's out of date by at minimum a year. It's a year past expiration. You've got rats, you've got squirrels in the storage facility where the food is. They just covered it up with plastic and tore the ceiling out because of all the black mold and found a dead cat in the ceiling that dropped down on the top of the food.
Ew.
My gosh.
Okay. So they're not letting you in here because it's a breach of security or whatever. They don't want you in here where you can see what's really going on.
What are your thoughts, Eddie?
You're in prison, bro.
And also, you're
a... I thought you said one of those fancy ones.
Yes.
It doesn't matter. You broke the law. You're in prison. You want, like, steak dinner?
He's also a really rich white guy who's used to getting everything that he wants out of here. So anything that's not that is going to be even worse. Who hadn't had a dead cat?
I mean...
rats? And also, he's kind of king of hyperbole. But I'm not saying that's not true, but I'm sure he's exaggerating it a bit. What were you saying?
I'm just saying, it sounds like what we've been hearing is maybe true, that all the rumors that are circulating on the internet that I've been reading sound pretty accurate.
You read rumors that circulate?
Yeah.
Or just news stories?
Mostly his daughter posts on Instagram.
Yeah. Some neighbors in the Park Hill community are on high alert after they say a man has been breaking into their homes and stealing intimate items. The Park Hill Panty Thief is his name.
I like that. That's a good name.
Neighbors are calling him that name, the PHPT, the Park Hill Panty Thief, and police are saying, all right, let's talk about the possible suspect. And they have women that are talking, and they're like, I feel like he's watching our house.
Yeah, that's awful. I don't like that.
It's weird.
Yeah, no, it's scary, because he starts with the panties.
He passed over everything that a thief would normally steal and just goes for the underwear. Like, he didn't take money, medications, PlayStations, computers, and grab any of that.
Yeah, but this is where it starts, and then he starts killing people.
Well, that's dramatic.
Whoa.
So Lifetime Murder.
That's a movie. Yeah,
this has happened.
That's a movie.
But I think based on a real story?
No, but I mean...
oh, no. Okay, never mind.
But I'm sure that has happened.
A woman is recalling the moment she said a man broke into her house. She told Fox 31 about the first time he came through a window in July. My roommate was asleep in the bedroom. I wasn't home at the time. Man, that's weird.
That is weird.
Because you just don't know what the intention is. But the guy just wants to grab some silky panties.
Yeah, just leave him on the doorstep then.
No. Ew.
He shoves my roommate into the wall.
Oh.
Yeah, it just gets into a pretty dark situation here. But they want to catch him. KDBR. They do need to, anybody break into anybody's house for anything.
Yeah.
I wonder what his thing is. Does he like...
With the underwear?
Yeah, does he wear sniffs. Them or does he smell them?
He sniffs them.
Does he do both?
Both. What on earth?
That's crazy.
Maybe he eats them.
Possibly.
Oh,
maybe.
People eat stuff.
But he could also kill other people and put them in them.
Whoa.
Okay, you just went down Amy's rabbit hole.
That's dark.
But I'm just saying, that's why we got to shut it down. And it's funny to go, panty thief, ha, ha, ha. But it's like what?
He's obviously, it's disturbing.
But Park Hill Panty Thief is funny. They should have called them like a mean name.
Right, you can't.
It's like when monkeypox came out. Well, that sounded fun. There's a monkey involved. And it really was something that was not pleasurable to have, but you're using the word monkey.
Right.
Panty thief.
Yeah, like when you call him the Park Hill Panty Thief, it makes him kind of funny and cool. Like gives him like a superhero name.
Like the undergarment danger or something.
Oh.
You know, underwear, you can't make it funny and...
psycho.
Yeah, like undergarment...
Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
Underwear psycho.
Oh, the panty pariah.
Pariah?
What do you think a pariah is?
I don't know. Someone that...
Do you mean like
feasts on
the
something.
The panty predator?
Oh, you could do that too. What's a pariah though? It's like someone that feasts on things.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, pretty
you mean
much.
Like a piranha?
No, a pariah.
What is that?
It's not somebody that feasts on anything. Go ahead.
I think we pretty much nailed it.
I was looking
a pariah is Google somebody it. Who isn't treated outcast.
Oh,
social outcast. But they would be a but not.
Okay,
not,
so a pantyhose or a panty pariah. What is that fish?
Piranha?
Yeah.
So we've got pariah, piranha, and predator.
Yeah, those are a lot.
Those are tough.
Yeah.
Yeah, pariah is an outcast.
I just said that.
Right now, I read the definition.
Oh, got
so
it.
So you nailed it.
You confirmed?
Confirmed. It's a noun.
Origin?
Thanks, man.
Yeah, dude, I got you.
Yeah.
Can you use it as...
Yeah.
And also, what's the panty pirate going to do when all of a sudden...
No, panty pirate's funny, dude. You can't do that one. Panty pirate? That's funny.
Oh, that one is funnier. Arr, I'm here to feel panties. If you catch him in the act, like he may do something like kill somebody... Catching him.
Oh, I got one.
What?
The panty prayer.
Oh, my God.
Prayer. What is it called? Purveyor. Purveyor.
What is that? Panty pervert?
No, no.
The panty getting pervert?
Nah, perverver. It's like
a purveyor?
Yeah, that's it. That's a word.
So he's going to steal it and then sell it?
Oh, I don't know what a purveyor is. I just know.
Eddie, will you look that up? A purveyor? I think it's somebody who sells stuff.
How do you spell that?
P-U-R-V-O-Y-E-R, something, purveyor? Something like that.
Purveyor, got it. Purveyor definition. Here we go.
Yeah, I don't know what that means.
That is also a noun, and it's a person who sells or deals in particular goods. Oh.
So maybe they go to the flea market and they sell.
Okay. Well, there you have it. Let's find this dude. Let's take a couple calls, Ray, if you're cool with that.
Yep.
Why don't we go over to Kevin in Wyoming, who says he inherited a bunch of money from his best friend. Hey, Kevin.
Yeah.
Is it a true story?
Yes, sir.
How does your friend have a bunch of money that you didn't know about?
Oh, I knew about it.
Oh, you did? How much did you get?
Yeah. Well, after taxes and everything with the estate, a little over $800 million.
Do what?
I'm sorry. What?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah.
So with taxes and all,
I knew that shake lunchbox up.
Dude, you have $800 million?
So he was a billionaire.
A little more than that.
Yeah, I don't know.
They say by the end of next year, it'll be a billion.
You listen to the show?
Pardon me?
You listen to our show?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
What, when you're in your private jet or what?
Do you have a jet?
No, my little girl and I, we listen every morning when I take her to school.
Do you ever want to hire like a clean comedian for like a birthday party and send a jet to get them and bring them on up?
I might have to do that.
All right, I'm ready.
I'll tell you this. My family, my parents, my siblings, nobody knows.
Hold on. Nobody knows that you have about $1 billion?
Right. Except my little girl, my 6-year-old daughter. She's the only one that knows in the family.
Wouldn't she say something maybe accidentally?
If I was six, I would.
No.
She's six.
She knows better.
So how did you get this money? Did you know your friend was leaving you this money? Did you know he was that rich? Like how this money comes?
Yeah, yeah. He told me that, you know, he has children, and they were all honorary mentions for $10 each.
This ain't
and
real.
Everything that he had went to me.
This ain't real.
Why don't you think it's real?
It's not real.
How do you know?
Why do you think it's not real?
I can just tell. It ain't real.
Wait, who's your favorite person?
I'd never heard honorable mention before as a term in a will.
The fact that he says my 6-year-old is the only one that knows, and she, I mean, 6-year-olds can't, they say anything all the time. So to tell me that
No. You don't have any idea. I mean, seriously, she would not breathe a word to anybody because she knows the disaster that it would bring into our lives.
Wow.
So
at six, she can comprehend that?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, she knows. I was comfortable before, but not like now, you know. And I took her to school today in a Bentley Continental Speed. It's twin turbocharged V12. That's what I took her to school in. Her teacher asked, she says, is your daddy the one who drives all those cool cars? Yeah, that'd be him.
Okay, so how does nobody know if you're driving all those cool cars?
Because he did well before.
Because we went to where he was, and nobody knew us there. So we took over his house, and his house has got 17 bathrooms, 26,000 square feet.
But if
he left you the house?
If you go to that house, your family knows you're rich.
They don't
know. No, they don't know. They don't know where we go. You got to understand with this, there's a fiduciary responsibility that comes about this. And once anybody knows what I got, guess what? It's open season on me. So we live this double life. We go to where the big house is, and that's where we hang out. And when we do, nobody knows us. It's like going to Miami. If you move to Miami, do you know your neighbors next door to you? Probably not.
So are you primarily at the new house?
About half and half right now.
And it's just,
but nobody knows. They know that we have a place in Colorado, but they don't know what. And I'm a rather secretive person, but I do enjoy my cars. And I will say this. You had a little segment here a bit ago about somebody driving a nice car or whatever. Or they think they're something or someone else thinks they are. It does have its perks. My daughter wanted to go out to eat the other night, and she said, what do you want to drive? And I said, I don't know. What do you want to drive? She said, how about the Bugatti? Okay, fine. So we hop in that and we drive down the road. And I said, well, we don't have a reservation. She wanted to go to a Michelin star restaurant.
And wait, your 6-year-old knows what a Michelin star is?
Oh, buddy, she Googles everything. She's like an internet guru. She's my IT person. She's on everything. So she says, well, let's go there. All right. So we hop in there. I pull up and to the valet parking. They threw their hands in here and said, "Sir, we can't touch this car." And I said, "Why is that?" And they said, "Well, we're not allowed to." He said, "You can park it right over here." So I parked, and I said, "Well, I don't have a reservation." He said, "Oh, you do now. I guess when you pull up in a $3.4 million Bugatti, they seem to give you a little bit more courtesy, maybe." And they ushered us right in. They called the maitre d', said, "This man doesn't have a reservation, but he's got a Bugatti out here." He goes, "Well, that works for us." So we went in and had dinner and come out and left, and that's it. So it does have its
perks. What restaurant did you go to?
I don't think he heard you.
No, what restaurant you go to? No, he's trying to Google real quick. He doesn't know.
You can make up a restaurant. Pierre's. There you go. It's easy to make up a restaurant.
Do you hear how he does not have an answer? Because he's not real.
I'm sorry.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Now I can't hear.
You're just jealous. I think I believe him.
What was the restaurant?
Why do you care about a restaurant?
I've said it three times. Yeah,
because he's trying to trip me. He's trying to trip me up, which is fine. That's why we don't tell anybody. You're a perfect example, Lunchbox, why we don't tell anybody.
Well, you still haven't answered the question.
Make up a restaurant. What did you say? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Mizuna.
Make good steaks and baseball gloves.
It's in Denver.
So, can we come to your house?
Probably.
When you go, will you send a plane to come get us, and we'll come and like entertain you for a day, and
we'll
then
do the show right.
Yeah, we'll do the show from the house.
And your daughter.
And
this is the way I get, and this is where people kind of aggravate somebody. To be honest with you, right now, I just assume everybody come except Lunchbox.
Great,
you
know?
that's
we
perfect.
Actually like, prefer that too. We just
great idea.
Prefer that as well.
Okay.
So 800 mil. That's wild.
A little over. And that was after taxes.
So that other car, the other car you were talking about, the Bentley. What was that car again?
Bugatti. It's a Bentley Continental Speed, twin turbocharged V12.
And what does that cost? About.
Well, you're looking about 300 and change.
That's awesome.
But the Bugatti's $3.4 million.
I don't like the Bugattis.
The way they look?
Not really. I mean, I understand. I'm not a car guy, though. I like the Bentley because it looks classic and it doesn't...
It does.
Yeah.
It's very classy, very subtle, and it's not something that screams, "Hey, look at me," you know. You go into a Lambo or you go into Ferrari, you know, whatever. But, you know, I like the hot rods and the classics, and I've got a Camaro that has dynoed at 2012 horsepower, and you know, I like cars.
Yeah,
you know that's my big fault that I have.
That's awesome.
Do you have watches?
But I love watches.
Yeah, no. Do you collect watches?
Well,
it's a good investment.
Not per se. I mean, I've got a couple, but you know the thing that I'm more into is my cars. I mean, I have to say I truly love cars. And my little girl, you know, this Camaro that I have, over 2,000 horsepower, that's a lot. I mean,
she
you think
it?
About that. And she said, "I'm most calm when I'm riding in the Camaro." Now, how that could be, I have no idea, because it's NASCAR loud. It burns racing fuel. It costs me $5 a mile to drive that car with Sunoco racing fuel. And when we roll down the road in that, it reeks of racing fuel. It burns your eyes, it burns your lungs, it burns your nose. It's loud and obnoxious and hateful. The motor on this car stands an inch and a half above the windshield, so it's like Hot Wheels car crazy. And she says, "I'm most calm when I'm riding in that car." Well, how can that even be? I have no idea.
And you
but
won't
she's
tell
absolutely
anybody in your family about it.
Sorry
this.
Again?
No, you won't tell anybody in your family.
No, about, not yet. Not yet.
Your voice is sort of distinct. You're on the radio.
Well, maybe I should be on radio.
No. I just mean like
you don't need the money.
Someone might recognize.
So yeah, have at it.
Voice.
Yeah.
What about the house? The house, like, do you have to pay to have someone clean it and the yard and all that stuff?
Yeah, 17 bucks.
How much does that cost?
Let me ask you this. What do you think? I mean, seriously, would you clean that house yourself? Probably not.
No.
So there's multiple people that come in, they clean the house, they do all my housework. I mean, they do my laundry, you know. And get this, here's the tripped up part. I can't get a date. I'm a single father. And I can't get a date. And it's not like there's some catastrophically reason or something's wrong with me. I mean, I'm secretive, you know, and I don't talk about this stuff, because once you let that cat out of the bag, you think you're going to have problems with women? Oh, yeah, buddy. You're going to have more trouble than you ever thought you'd have. So here I sit.
I want to be this guy's friend.
Wait, so do you, if you were to go on a date, do you just...
He drives the Bugatti, and he tries to be secretive.
No, he maybe doesn't. Maybe he...
I don't.
What do you do? How do you...
Take the bus.
Helicopter.
Well, it depends. I've got a four-wheel drive pickup that I drive, you know, and that's me. I mean, I'm from Wyoming, and, you know, the oil fields and the oil industry and gas leases and everything else, and you know, my buddy, he amassed such a fortune in everything. I mean, from artwork, you name it. But
he left it all to you, huh?
It's absolutely. Yep, everything. Well, with the exception of the honorable mentions.
And so, do they hate you?
Do the kids know? Yeah, do they know
$40?
That it's all to you? The rest is to you.
Oh yeah, they all know.
But they don't.
And they know why.
Okay.
But there was nothing they could do about it, because, you know, there's just no way. It was airtight, Will. So, but anyhow, yeah, it's an amazing thing.
I'd
it can
say.
Be a blessing, but it can be a curse in disguise.
Yeah, way more blessing, though.
And it's hard to, you know, it's hard to be in this position. And, you know, it's not like I won the lottery where everybody's going to say, oh, hey, look at old George. He won the lottery. Let's go bilk him out of whatever. So I try to stay low profile as best as I can. But when we go out or we go do something, we go to places where people don't know us. And if we go to Miami or we go to Disney World, we can stay top notch. We don't have to stay, you know, at Motel 6 or anything. We can go stay wherever we want. Nobody knows or cares who you are. really don't.
At home, do you stay in the same humble abode that you always stayed in?
Yeah, what's the other 50% where you spend your time?
Well, that's where my parents live. And we're still there a little bit, but they know something's up, you know. And I told them we bought a cabin in Colorado. So, you know, they're kind of been deceived on that. And I'm sure I'll catch hell for it. But it is what it is.
Lunchbox, your thoughts?
They just... But, you don't like me. That's okay.
No, I just don't know if I believe him.
You don't know or you don't believe him?
I don't believe him.
I do believe him.
Okay.
Because he doesn't have anything. He's not trying to
sell
us on anything.
I spent 40 minutes on the phone waiting to talk to you. If I didn't want to talk to you, I wouldn't. So,
yeah, I mean,
you know, it is what it is.
Do you work at all now?
No.
No.
So,
no.
But what is your family? But the people that know you, if you're not working at all, why do they think you're able to do that and still live the same lifestyle?
Well, because I'm retired.
Got it.
That makes sense.
And he
that
said he had
sense.
A good living before.
Yeah. Dang.
Yeah, I had, you know, I've had my cars and my toys and everything, you know, long before all this.
Do you have a plane?
And no, not right now, but I will. All this has taken place here in the last, it took 2.5 years to settle the estate. And so it's just now gotten settled in the last 5 months. So this is all, you know, fairly new with the massive influx of assets.
Can you just log into an account and see $500 million?
Well, no, because it's spread out. So you'd have to pull up multiple accounts to be able to pull that up.
That's true.
And to get the cumulative total, because that's just like yourself. You're probably not going to have everything you have put in one account.
I do.
That's
so yeah, but
tracks.
16 cents is pretty easy to put
that's
in
true.
One account.
That's
true.
That's right. You don't need the FDIC insurance so 16 cents.
I'm going to dig in there myself.
So what did your friend do to accumulate this wealth?
He said oil.
His oil and gas leases, real estate.
All right.
He's always been a wheeler dealer in his life, and artwork. So... it's insane. I have a 1956 Jackson Pollock hangs over my bed.
How
I
much
see it every night before I go to bed. I see it every morning when I wake up.
How much?
$46 million painting hanging over my bed.
Let's sell that bad boy.
Wait, but I would be afraid someone's going to come murder me and take it. That's
why he's not letting anyone know.
Security?
No,
the
but
house?
Like I wouldn't.
Yeah, that's why he's not telling people that he has this. Just all of America.
Right. They're not going to find me.
That's true. I don't know. I believe him. Let's take a vote. Who believes him? Amy.
Sorry, I'm Googling Jackson Pollock.
I believe him, Eddie.
I'm not sure.
I believe him. I think his answers were too detailed.
And he doesn't care. It's not like he's trying to prove anything to us. Yep. He's just chilling. Morgan?
Yeah, I totally believe him. I'm fascinated.
Lunchbox?
I don't believe him unless he buys me a car.
Okay. I don't think he cares enough. Yeah, I don't think he cares enough to do that.
Who is your favorite person on the show?
I guess, Bobby, he's kind of, the ringleader, so he ranks right up there. Amy's pretty cool. Lunchbox just went downhill for me, which is okay. He's entitled, just like I'm entitled. And, he kind of surprised me with his, I'm just going to say, obnoxious negativity, but that's all right. That's him.
That's surprising.
Yeah.
The irony, though, of this being real, and if this guy's like close to a billionaire, and Lunchbox just is like rude to him. Right. He like treats us to, we go to stay at his house and Lunchbox doesn't get invited.
Right.
The irony. We're like taking pictures in his cars. That would just be the greatest. So, well, we really appreciate your time, Kevin. And call us back after the first of the year if you get bored. And we'll come out there. We'll come stay in the Colorado house with you.
Amy's available.
All right.
All right. We'll put you on hold for 1 second.
I'll keep you guys in mind. You can keep my phone number too if you have it.
Yeah, hold on 1 second. I'll put you on hold.
Yeah, I'll write it down.
No, do not give it to Lunchbox. Okay, you got him, Ray? All right, let me do this mid-roll real quick. Okay. We've all been there. You have a question about your credit card. You call the number for help, and you can't get a hold of anyone. With 24/7, U.S.-based, live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yeah, you heard that right. A real person. Get the customer service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Hey, it's Bobby Bones. I want to say thanks for everybody who has helped with St. Jude. I mean, you guys are changing lives. You guys are saving lives. St. Jude has been leading the way to the world's best survival rates for some of the most aggressive forms of cancer. And I'm talking about childhood cancer. Your support actually means that families never receive a bill from St. Jude for treatment or travel or housing or food. So the parents can focus on being a parent and helping their kid live. I never had cancer, but I was in the hospital as a kid for a long time. And I just remember how difficult it was, how scary it was. And then I remember getting out and having to figure out how to pay the bill. I didn't have to pay it, but somebody did. But St. Jude eliminates a lot of that. You can help St. Jude stop childhood cancer by becoming a partner in hope. You'll get an awesome new This Shirt Saves Lives shirt. Join the doctors, the researchers. Hey, join me in this fight and visit musicgives.org. That's musicgives.org. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How did the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Brewer shaped the sound and soul of country music as we know it today, despite never picking up an instrument herself. Lovingly dubbed as the Boar's Nest, Sue's place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters, wounded souls, wayward upstarts, that's where they would spur each other and tap into something bigger and something realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Backrack as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash alongside a full ensemble cast. Audible invites you to enter the Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer, and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Listen now at audible.com/theboarsnest. All right, well.
That was interesting.
That was interesting, yeah.
Yeah, and here's the thing. You want to hear a crazy story about like inheriting?
Now you're going to pick him apart when he's not here anymore?
No, not him. I'm not talking about him.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm going to talk about another story that's in the news.
Okay.
So there was a bride and groom that got married, I think it was this summer. And on the way, like they're leaving the reception, they're in a golf cart going to the hotel or whatever. They got hit by a drunk driver and the bride died. And now the bride's mom is fighting, saying, oh, it's not, the wedding's not real. Like the husband shouldn't get the estate. Like she should get it. How crazy is that? Like they got married. They were married for like 3 hours. Her daughter dies and now she's fighting the husband saying, no, you're not the rightful guy. Like your guys' wedding wasn't.
Dang.
That's crazy.
That's tough.
I don't like that story.
I don't either.
I know, but like when we talked about it earlier, I was like, should I bring this up? Should I not? But then we came back to inheriting stuff, and I'm just like, man, that is just wild.
Amy, when you told Kevin I'm available, what did you mean by that?
I'm just joking. He said he couldn't date.
Oh, I thought he meant for like. I thought
no,
she meant for
no,
like.
No, she no, meant no. for
he
like.
Said, hey, I'm single.
Hey, I might be too.
Okay.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Let me put Winter on, who lives in Kentucky. Hey, Winter, you're on the show. What's going on?
Hi, I was calling to make some comments about the commentary about the Coach Hines from Pulaski County, the football coach.
Yeah, we saw his video on TikTok, so that's the only thing we know about it. So tell us some more.
Okay, so there's a three-minute video of his post at this end-of-the-season banquet. There's nine seniors, six of them from a little school called Shotville Elementary. In that three-minute video, did you hear anything about a 17-year-old who had died of a traumatic brain injury?
I did not see anything about
Coach
that.
Hines. That's what's going on, buddy. It has nothing to do with hard coaching.
Hey, don't come at me.
It has nothing to do with parents.
Buddy. Got it. I'm listening, though. Go ahead.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, it's not parents and boys that can't do hard coaching. A 17-year-old died, clean hit on a football field preseason. Coach Hines says nothing about him. Does not honor him in any way, does not want his parents to come to senior night and go out on the field. He's not mentioned. Six out of nine of these boys have played together with Andrew Dodson, this dead 17-year-old, since they were peewees. They are not allowed to say his name.
Why are they not allowed to say
his
name?
If true, that sounds...
They're trying
that
to get.
Pretty awful.
They're trying to get out of a lawsuit. They think they're going to get sued. That is what the parents are upset about. It's the administration and Coach Hines.
If true, that sounds awful.
Drew Dodson, D-O-D-S-O-N.
What? I'm not going to Google anything. I don't get sad. Or Lunchbox told me it's terrible. He had a story a minute ago, and there's this one.
Oh man!
But the TikTok video I saw, I was like, "Go, coach!"
And that's crazy.
Now until this, I'm like, "Oh, coach sucks." So now I'm back in the middle. I'm back at scratch.
I know.
Zero.
And we only know what we read, right?
And we only know what people tell us.
Or what
on
people
TikTok.
Tell us.
Yeah, and TikTok's very trustworthy.
Yeah.
Well, that whole story sucks. Like a real life version of that. That sucks that somebody died. I don't know the rest of those details. I don't know how true it is, how affected any sort of bias involved. But I hope it gets worked out.
And what I do know is that parents are toxic. And
parents are awful.
When it comes to the youth sports, parents are just terrible.
I watched two referees square up against each other.
I saw that.
On
it was
TMZ.
Like a fourth grade basketball game? Yeah, fourth grade year old basketball game, whatever. And they're just fighting. And it's like,
two referees got up like this, and they end up splitting them apart, but the referees with each other.
Yeah. Well, I saw a youth hockey game. I mean, massive brawl.
We expect that, though.
They're like 10. It was crazy.
That's crazy.
The kids fought?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
It was a melee.
Parents.
No, parents are idiots, too.
Yep.
Yeah, parents are idiots. Eddie wants everybody to know something. He is not Ray.
I'm not. Enough.
Everybody, Eddie is not Ray.
And I feel like
there we go.
Twice a year I have to come on and say, I am not Ray. And I really want to make it official. I want Ray to just, we can't call him Raymundo anymore. Like,
so what's happening? What's the crossover here where people think you're Ray?
Because out in public, people are like, hey, Ray, I met a guy. I talked to him for like 5 minutes, and his wife walks up, and he goes, hey, honey, this is Ray. And I'm like, no, it's Eddie. My name's Eddie.
But why would he think you were
saying Ray? Not
because Raymundo is Hispanic.
But they're saying this is Ray.
Right, but I think as we talk about Raymundo, it's always Raymundo, 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 Raymundo. But I'm the Hispanic one, so when they see me, they're like, oh,
that's
there's Ray.
Raymundo.
But when they see Mike, do they say, and Mike are both Hispanic?
He only goes by Mike, though.
Yeah, he's Mike.
They ever call you Ray, Mike?
No.
Oh,
true.
I would say Eddie's probably a little more recognizable.
I just
think you have to be more distinguishable, Eddie. That's your problem is you don't stick out enough. So that's...
How do I do that?
You tell me. You got to get charisma, bud. You said you have charisma.
Hey, you need more Riz.
More Riz?
Yep, yeah. That's right.
So Ray's real name is not Raymundo, though. That is stuck because he asked us to make it stick. He has no Raymundo about him at all, but we still call him that.
And we need to stop doing that because it's confusing the listeners.
Raymundo, what do you think about that?
I mean, I'll change my name from Raymundo if Eddie changes his gender.
Fair enough. That's a good ask.
I don't understand.
Yeah, he's willing to change his name if you
change
you.
Your gender.
Yeah.
But it's not his name.
It won't be your gender.
Ray, why don't you just legally change your name to Raymundo? Then I can't argue that.
That sounds more than the millionaire $800 million 2 years of documentation that would have to go on.
What'd you think about that guest story?
Thought he was real. That's way too many details for that not to be real. And I'm from Wyoming, and that makes sense. That's oil money.
No, he's not from Wyoming.
Yeah, since when are you from Wyoming now? You're from Michigan.
I lived there from birth till 14 years old.
You've never once claimed Wyoming.
He said this before. But he doesn't claim Wyoming.
And anytime we say, where are you from? Michigan, the mitten.
Right, that's where I was in high school. It just made sense, and it was easy to say the north. Because when I moved to Texas, people said you're from the north. Because that's where I just came from.
But you never say Wyoming, you only say Michigan.
Because Wyoming was the first original place I was at. Like right now, I always say I'm from Texas. Because that was the last place I came from.
No, you still say Michigan.
Yeah. I've moved around a little bit, so it does become confusing. But that guy was spot on. There's so much ranch and oil and all that money out there. People just hide. He's right. Ain't nobody going to find him. There is prairie and sagebrush. You will never find this dude.
Sagebrush.
Mm. Yeah, he wasn't trying to impress us enough for me to think he was lying. And he had too many details.
It is a wacky story, though.
Unless that's just his story, and he.
You know who else had a good story and never lied?
Tinder Swindler.
Ding! Thank you.
Yeah,
he nailed it.
What
did Tinder Swindler have a job? He claimed he had a job.
Yeah. He was an investor, right? Like, what was his job? Do you remember?
No. Exactly.
What he told the girls?
He just told them, hey, I do this. I fly here. I host parties. I do blah blah blah. You want to get on a chat with me?
No, because he would say go on business trips.
Yeah. Yep.
And then his enemies were after him. Oh, no.
Oh, he always had to the enemies.
Yeah. Do you know how he did his operation?
Mm-mm. He's so good.
Can we tell him? Is that?
I don't know.
Yeah, you know what? I won't spoil it. Just watch it. Are you going to watch it?
I mean,
it is fantastic.
Bones, you would love it.
Yeah, I tried to watch it with my wife once, but she was like, I don't want to watch Tinder Swindler.
She doesn't.
That's every dude. She's like, that's every dude that tries to date any girl now, all lying about stuff.
Yeah.
So she's like, I don't want to watch Tinder Swindler. And I'm like, but I do. And so then I never watched it. And right now, my alone shows, I'm balancing between Squid Games, The Challenge.
She's not watching that with you either?
No, because she didn't watch the original Squid Games, and I didn't start The Challenge with her. So I'm on episode 4 or whatever, and she would, but I don't want to make her watch that. Lawman Bass Reeves.
Sounds familiar. What is that?
It's a commercial, too, on the show that we do, but it's about a dude, and it starts off, and it's like the Civil War or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to say too much, but he was basically... He's the first black U.S. Marshal, but at the beginning he didn't have a gun. He was in fight. Like basically like he was with another dude. Dude's like, take this gun and let's go fight these guys that were blowing him away. Mm. And so they go over and he's like, oh crap. And they, whatever. That's good. It's somebody. This is a real story, but I can't say too much.
Okay. Gotcha.
But watching that, watching Squid Game and then watching, I feel like there's something else. I don't know.
Shiny Girl.
Did you finish the movie, The Fireman?
Yeah. A plus. Just too long. But not too long. But I had to watch it.
But pretty long.
No, 3.5 hours. Too long.
It's pretty long,
but
man.
But if I would have had the time and budgeted the time out right, I would have not left. It's 3 hours and 26 minutes long. It's so long. I hate movies. But it was awesome. And that movie, sad. All right. Everybody feel good?
Mm-hmm. Kind of.
Let me do one more call and then we'll wrap post show. Abby in Omaha, Nebraska. Hey, Abby, what's going on?
Hey, how's it going?
Pretty good. What can I do for you?
Morning, studio.
Morning.
I wanted to just call and make a comment on Morgan's bit from yesterday about on the dating apps and the guy throwing her a, hey, beautiful, mm-hmm. good morning, gorgeous message, like first thing.
Yeah, it felt weird. Yeah.
So me and Morgan are almost exactly the same age. We kind of grew up in the same regional area. I agree with her on a lot of things. But when she was saying this on the show yesterday, I threw my hands in the air because I can sympathize and empathize with that kind of just awkward, like, what do I say in return feeling?
Like, nothing hot stuff? Like, you have to say something back? Or how do you do that when a guy that you never even met starts calling you beautiful so quick?
The first couple of times I just kind of just go with the flow, just or like I'm just kind of I just can like comment outside of what they said, or just like say something like, oh, you're a goof or something like that. If it eventually leads to us meeting and it continues to happen, I will just like be like, you don't have to keep saying that to me. And some of them kind of get the hint. They're like, okay, I'm good. And then some continue just to do it. I'm having a hard time kind of figuring out if it's just like men just being just how they're raised, or if it's like this act of desperation. They need to know that they are really into me, or I'm struggling with it again. So when Morgan had that bit yesterday, I was just like, oh my gosh, I can relate 110%. Bobby, I know you hate anything above 100%, but 110%.
Yeah, I hate that. I hate that more than you hate beautiful. Morgan, so I would say it's a bit of both probably. Some people are raised like that. Some people probably don't want to mix up names.
Yeah, I got a lot of responses to this, and I do think that there are people out here who do talk like that for sure. But I don't think you do that to a person you haven't even met before. Like, if you want to do that as part of who you are as a person, that's fine.
Right.
But a person that you're talking to that you just met on a dating app, you haven't met in person.
I'd agree with that. I'm down.
And then also, like, people are like, well, why didn't you respond and tell him stop saying that? I'm like, I've known him for 10 text messages. Why would I tell him to stop being who he is when I just don't know how to respond in that scenario? I'm not ghosting him. We haven't met.
Yeah, I'm with you. It feels weird. If anything feels weird, I'm probably just going to jump out, especially that early.
Yeah. If we had met and this started happening, I think it's okay. It's just the whole fact that it was a stranger. And I think you should just have normal communications with a person you've never met before. You act like a normal person.
My theory is he's a panty pirate.
Oh.
That's possible. Mm-hmm.
Could theory. Be the one.
I do also think some people have insecurities. And so they use like words to like help them be like, well, I don't have this, so I can call you beautiful and I can make sure you feel good. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So I think that's a thing, too.
Like, since I have a small wiener, I'm going to call you beautiful and give you satisfaction that way.
That's weird.
There's that.
Okay.
Well, it could be anything.
I see the connection there.
Okay,
but.
Okay.
Yeah. I can't make you feel good one way. I'll make you feel good another way.
Yeah. Okay. You try and make it look good another way.
Yeah, okay.
All right, that's it. Thank you, guys. Post show, we'll see you tomorrow. We'll give away a car tomorrow on the show to a listener.
Crazy.
Oh, man.
Thank you. Goodbye, everybody.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside.
Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.